שלום, אנחנו קוראים מתוך כתבי רבש ג' בעמוד 1876.
We're reading from the writings of Rabash. מהו בלם האור לא יצא בעבודה? This is an untranslated text. You can ask question lives on CAP TV and selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
עניין מרור.
The matter of Marol, as it says, that they bittered their life with hard work, meaning with the question of who and what, that these questions caused them, made them make great efforts, and because of that, they felt Marol, which is bitter herb, and also bitterness. And he says that everything that the evil inclination asks, these aren't questions, and he feels no bitterness then. So it follows that one has no bitter herb in the work for him to need to go above reason. And we have to understand what the sages said about it, that if they swallow the marol, if one swallows the maror, then nothing comes out. And the Ari says about it that maror and gematria equals mavet, death, which are judgments. And we have to ask, what does it tell us that maror and gematria is death? But the matter of the maror that you eat is because they have bittered themselves with hard work. And we have to say that the hard work, it means that it is hard to overcome and come out of searching for self-benefit, and one wants to work only for self-benefit, and he is called wicked, meaning that he asks, what is this work of bestowal? Meaning, what will you get as a result? And it is known that the wicked in their life are called dead. So it follows that hard work is considered marol, that a person tastes bitterness because he has to work for his own benefit. And this hints that marol and gematria equals mavet, death, and dinim, judgments, that it's forbidden to use this kli, and for this reason, the tzimtzum and the concealment dwell there. And now we have to ask, why do we have to chew it in order to feel the bitterness?
Questions.
Dikrashuv.
Read again.
Again, what does it mean that he swallowed the marol, the bitter herb, and nothing came out from the work? The matter of the marol, it means that they bittered their life with hard work, meaning with the questions of who and what, that these questions cost them dearly, meaning that they wanted to overcome, but they couldn't, and they tasted marol, bitterness. But we have to explain these questions within reason, and then one feels no bitterness in the work. And he says that everything that the evil inclination asks, these aren't questions. And one way or another, it doesn't feel the bitterness. So he has no moral bitterness in the work for one to need to go above reason in the work. And here we have to understand what our sages said about it, that if he swallows the marol, then nothing comes out. And the Ari says about it, the marol in gematria equals mavet, death, which are judgments, and we have to ask, what does it hint that marol in gematria equals death? The matter of the marol that we eat is because their life was bittered with hard work, and we have to say that the hard work in the work, it means that it's hard to overcome and break loose of the thought about one's own benefit and he wants to work only for himself, and this is called wicked. And he asks, what is this work of bestowing onto others? Meaning, what will you get as a result? And it is known that the wicked in their lifetime are called dead. So the hard work is called maror, that a person tastes the bitterness because he has to work for his own benefit. And this is the hint that maror and gematria equals mavet, death, and dinim, judgments, because there was a judgment when one uses this kli for one's own benefit, and for this reason you have there the tzimtzum and the concealment. And now we have to scrutinize, why do we have to chew in order to feel the bitterness?
Questions? Yes.
What does it mean to chew the maror, the bitter herb?
To chew means that I must always reach a state in my work that I feel how my will to receive doesn't allow me to advance towards bestowal.
But in what actions exactly?
In what actions can I do this? In actions that I try and bestow, I need to reach a state that I find that my will to receive doesn't enable me to do so. And then I feel bitter.
And it depends only whom do I want to bestow to, or also depends on the actions?
With respect to who? What? With respect to my auntie or to the Creator?
Is it whatever I do towards the 10, or is it specific things that I do towards the 10? Does it matter what action I want to...
No, action of bestowal. What else is it? Of course, the action of bestowal is within the 10. And by focusing, by wanting from that, by intending from that to reach bestowal upon the Creator, and I believe that through the 10 I do bestow upon Him, and the more I aim myself, not with the size of the action, but with the intensity of my intention, that I truly want it to be in bestowal, by that I want to reach a state that I come across resistance from within my nature, that I don't want to think in depth about the action of bestowal. And to the extent that I don't delve deeper into it, then I'm willing to bestow upon the group, but not beyond that. And then I feel in this border, in this limit where I find that I don't want to think about bestowal, about contributing myself, dedicating myself. That exactly is the maror, that bitter herb. I need to feel it, to attain it, to chew on it. Until when? Until it will cause me that Israel will sigh from the work, that I'll cry out that I must attain this additional quality of bestowal.
So the chewing is actually the scrutiny of the intention? That's the hard part, to keep on scrutinizing.
Both to keep on scrutinizing and to do the action itself. Yes? Meaning the action itself is according to how the quality of the action comes across the resistance. That means attaining the maror, this bitterness. It's bitter, that's the feeling. Yes.
Is there any difference between asking to continue doing the action or asking for a deeper scrutiny? Meaning maybe you have the strength to do certain
acts. The fact that I'm in a deeper scrutiny brings me to maror. What's unclear here?
I mean, sometimes you don't have the strength to do the action.
What action? The action of scrutiny. What action? That I do something in my hands? No, that's not important. It's the action of scrutiny. To the extent that by that I dedicate my desire. Okay? Yes.
I don't really understand how can a person see beyond himself. Because as long as he sees inside himself, he has no bitter, as no maror, bitter harvest, says here.
If I feel that I profit from this, I have no work. The second I go past this stage, that I want to cause by that, I want to bring that to the group, then I feel the bitterness, and
I didn't exactly understand how can a person look outside of himself, beyond himself. How do I get the strength to see something outside of myself?
That I'm included in the group, and I want to be included in it, to dedicate to it something that doesn't get back to me in return. Can I pass on something without any self-calculation? So that I will have nothing, no pleasure, no enjoyment, no reward, nothing. Even a good thought. Right? That I did it, I caused it, I made myself honor or something. I want to give to them only, and that this will remain for them. I gave it and then it went out to them. That's it. I examine myself to what extent I can be dedicated in that way above my ego. I see that I can't. The Pharaoh is in control about all these actions of mine. And from that, I feel this border of what, to the extent that I can or can't at all. And then, the feeling that I can't come out of my circle, out of my ego, this feeling is called maror. There are higher degrees here, but that's it for now.
And a person gets this desire from the environment?
What desire?
The desire to invest in the group without getting anything in return.
I read that that's the way it is in spirituality, and I want to test myself. Can I do a serious spiritual action or not? That's it. I don't give them anything. Not even a tiny object. It's not what it is. It's a matter of dedication. Am I able to connect to them and to want to be included in them and to pass on my strength in them? That in a way that I don't want to receive any pleasure, any benefit, anything in return, nothing. That's it, that everything will be for them, as much as they want, as much as they can. And I want to be included in them and to be. And then I see that either I'm unable to do this now, or I can't. For a single moment I can. But in the moment after that, no. But to exit Egypt, meaning that I come out of myself completely into the group, that I dedicate myself there, I exist there already in such a way. What does it mean there? After my current awareness in the group, in them. That's called coming out of Egypt. And I see that I won't be able to, and then Israel's side, they can't exit. Right? And out of these cries, then they get the force of the Exodus.
Thank you.
Okay? Questions there? Oh, okay. What's his name? Forgot.
Amram.
Right.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Why do you say that when someone gives something, he feels bad? People come here, they wake up late at night, they come to study in order to bestow. And you bring down their moral. You bring down the moral, they came to bestow. So they came to benefit, so what?
You don't know them. They're all thieves, they're all crooks.
I'll tell you, we're all wise and smart. We all know the Torah.
Wait, in 3 or 4 days we'll have Pesach Eve and we'll say that. We say that only once a year. Thank you very much. No, but really, I'll improve. I need to repent. True. It's not good to say that. It's right. On the one hand. On the other hand, it's true that there is no mitzvah to have criticism. No. The criticism has to come itself. If we yearn for goodness, then we discover that we're evil from our tendency towards goodness. When does the maror come? From yearning to reach goodness, to exit Egypt. Then we feel we're not capable of doing it. Then we feel to the extent that we are lazy, to the extent we're crooks, to the extent we're immersed in lowly lusts. Again, I'm bringing him out of his seat again, okay.
It says everything that you can do, you have to do. So it says.
So
what, am I complaining against myself?
No. Of course. You're complaining to the Creator that He'll be doing this.
This is a complicated question.
You're right. That's true. There can't be any questions awakened that you can't, that can't be scrutinized. That's what it says, that don't put an obstacle before a blind person. Yes.
What does it mean that if he swallows the bitter, it doesn't come out?
If you don't want to feel bitterness in the work, and it brings you that you seemingly, that doesn't bring you closer to the goal. It doesn't bring you any closer. You need to feel this chewing fully. Because only then you get deficiencies to come out of Egypt. Only then you feel how this sensation to be the evil inclination is evil. And to the extent that it gives you life without bestowal, that this is a limited life, it's loathsome. What does it mean to chew on to this maror, to this bitter herb? It means to scrutinize, because chewing means scrutinize. You have 32 teeth, right? That by chewing, you scrutinize. All of the forces that the evil inclination has, and to the extent that you're unable to swallow them, you're unable to do it. And then, once you reach this recognition that your entire nature is only the evil inclination, in these 32 paths, then you're ready to exit. That's why he swallowed the maror, then he didn't exit. But to chew and to chew and to chew, until when? Until it will be sweet. How can that be? How can this be sweet? When you feel in your awareness, we're talking about spiritual flavors. When you feel, now I can understand why it comes to me. What's the reason for this bitterness? How by it I can rise above the ego. How it's not the maror that brings me to rise above it. This is the beginning, this is beastly. But now I understand how it's important to me, how it helps me rise above my beastliness, but I truly want to exit not because it's bitter, not because I feel bad in my will to receive, but that there was goodness in Egypt. I want to rise above because I want to be a worker, a slave of the Creator. And you chew on that, you chew on it, and you get all the spiritual discernments from that. You understand? For you, this becomes this work, this inversion of your attitude, of your intention, to such an extent that it doesn't matter anymore. This bitter feeling is only with respect to my will to receive. When I rise above to the will to bestow, then it becomes sweet. How is that sweet? It's because of my importance for this bitterness, that thanks to that, my animal allows me to come out of Egypt. So with respect to my soul, it's sweet.
So how not to blur the bitterness?
We don't blur it by the intention, by the importance, that my importance of coming out of Egypt is more important than feeling the bitterness. Try taking this horseradish, this chrein, it's called in Yiddish. Also in Russian, it's called that. Try putting yourself in the right intention, that for you to rise above your ego is more important than any corporeal, beastly, animalistic feeling, and you want to be in that feeling, and you'll see that you won't feel any taste, and you might even start feeling sweetness, because bitter and sweet, they can be inverted through your intention from one to the other. Try it. Why not? Try in general. You can do this with everything. I remember that I told this to Rabash, that if I do an intention in order to bestow, then I stop feeling the flavor in the food. And he said to me, it's the first time that he looked at me as if with respect. It's a good discernment. Try it. If you make an effort from your heart that you want to be in that intention, then you don't feel it. The bodily flavors disappear completely. We see even a person who's in sorrow, give him something tasty, he won't feel any flavor in the food. Or if he's under stress, he doesn't feel it. It's known, these things are known. Yes.
If our entire path eventually it's mitigated, then why they cried from the work?
That they don't have strength themselves, and they sighed from the work. How does that continue?
From the work to God.
From the work to God. That's it. Meaning it brings you to a cry, to an outburst of the desire to attain the force of bestowal, to prayer. You don't need anything beyond that. What's prayer? It's the revelation of the deficiency towards bestowal. And then you rise to this quality.
But bestow is work. Here, please, you have work, do it.
But I don't have strength to do it. I need to get the light from above that will shine to me, and with that light I can bestow. I don't have the force of bestowal, but what I need to get in Egypt is the need for bestowal, and then I get strength, and then I'm already outside of Egypt. It's a force that holds me above. Then there's the opening of the Red Sea, until you reach the standing of Mount Sinai, and yes.
Is it possible to reach bestow without the so-called I want?
What do I want? What, just anything?
I understand, like you gave the example with the operation, right? It's not that you want to make the operation, but you understand the importance.
Right, of course, it's what we do.
So the question is there some advice as to how to develop this importance correctly? It's not that I really want it, but how do I develop the importance for it?
Group. Group. I'll answer any question you ask, I'll answer you. The group.
What about it?
What about it? I don't know. Is it here? Does it exist? Check. If it does, include yourself in it. Find its center and include yourself in that. That's it. You'll get answers to all of your questions. Because there in the center of the group lies the Creator, lies the spiritual world. Everything is there. Moving on to page 2083.
Page 2083, and God spoke unto Moses. And God spoke to Moses, and he told him, I am God. And we have to understand, what does this mean? Probably, it comes to answer Moses' question, where it says at the end of Parashat Shmot, that since I came to Pharaoh to speak on your behalf, the people are worse off, and you did not save them. And the question of Moses was that when he told them that you have to work in Lishma, and everyone thought that their work will be harder and stronger, but the fact was the very opposite, that they weakened in the work. And so they cried out to Moses, look what you did. You promised us that we'll come out of the Egyptian exile, that our reason was in exile, but by this way that you're giving us of working Lishma, by it we'll come out from the enslavement of the body that it's enslaved to Pharaoh, but actually we don't have the fuel to do it. And if so, the reason compels that the exalted goal that you're presenting us with is something that we cannot receive. And here comes the answer. And God spoke unto Moses. God equals nature. Elohim equals nature. That naturally, you're right. You don't have the fuel to continue doing your work. And he told him, I am God. Hashem, and that's the quality of mercy, that due to this mercy one can continue and get the strength and fuel which is above reason and above nature. And this is something that you can't argue with, because all of the arguments that a person can have are only those that he gets from his reason. Whereas above reason, everything's possible, only that you have to overcome with faith, that the Creator can help, in faith above reason. And actually, it is impossible to receive anything above nature before a person reaches the decision that this thing can exist also within nature. And only after one comes to despair of nature, then only can he ask for help from above to help him to rise above nature.
Questions? Everything is clear? Other than Tzvika. Oh, Gershon is here. He came in the middle of the lesson.
The dialogue that Moses has with the people reminds me of the dialogue that we have with you when we ask you where does the importance, the strength come from, and so on. And if you can explain the answer,
Well, but they also have claims against Moses. But it's actually towards the Creator.
They claim against Moses. Moses, he answers through what? But they say, we don't have the strength to go above reason, and the answer that they get is, go above reason. So...
Right, so what do you want? What should be the answer? Moses says we need to go above reason, right? And they say we don't have strength to go above reason. What's next? What should Moses say? We need to go above reason. And they answer again, but we don't have strength to go above reason. Moses that says to them, he doesn't know they don't have strength, he knows. So why does he say that? Go on, say.
For them to be despaired.
So they will first try, just to despair, you know, there's no wise as the experienced. I need to try with my own forces to do actions of bestowal, to see to the extent I'm not able to do it, and I get from inside, I get this inner breaking. I'm unable to do anything. It bends me, it breaks me. And then I reach a state, but this is a broken state, truly so. And it says about this, that there is no whole as the broken heart. And then I cry out that I'm truly incapable of doing it. But I cry out from the shattering, from this broken state. And then... And then I don't ask for Moses. I cry out to the Creator. This effort opens up a connection with the Creator, that He is the cause. He did this to me, so I will truly need His help. And then I ask for help. That's it. The force in order to bestow. I have a deficiency for it. Before that, I didn't. And then, as a result of that, Israel sighed from the work, and they did, and they truly want it, with all their strength, and then... From above, then this escape is set up for them from the ego, from the will to receive, in order to bestow. And they're willing to exit and escape with dough, with everything. Yep.
When you feel the shattering or the resistance that you can bestow, what's the advice? How do you chew on it instead of running away?
You must give all of your strength. All the strength that I have, I must use in order to do actions of bestowal. And only when I reach a state that I'm unable to do actions of bestowal, upon all of this exertion, upon all these efforts, all of these attempts, then at the end, I start reaching this thought, this knowledge, this ability to cry out, that this cry opens up the exodus. Otherwise, no, there is no wise as the experienced.
It seems that it's individual work towards the group.
Yep, towards the group.
The question is, suppose Roy works, Miller works, I work, each of us work. Does each of us have a certain meaning in the accumulation of the process?
That will be found later on during the work. Most important is that I work with respect to the group in order to be included in it, to bestow upon it. I try and do this entire process upon it, to do all the actions. That's it.
Barur.
Clear?
Nu niten lech tzair.
Go on, give it to the young guy.
Hello, Rav. He says here, and only after he despairs, only then can he ask for help from above.
He understands that the Creator did this to him, that Pharaoh is the posterior, is the opposite of the Creator. These are two opposite forms that work on him, and then he's grateful for it, and he respects it, and he praises it alongside with understanding his own lowliness, loathsomeness, and so on. So he deserves getting forces for a bestowal because he truly needs it. He wants it. Before that, he didn't want it. It's just a cry. Who wants to bestow from here, right?
Now, Baal HaSulam too says that there's nothing to give besides prayer. And he also tells us that the gist of the work is the request. You're saying, don't look for the bad, head towards the good, and the bad will appear. Here it says that you have to reach despair.
We need to reach despair, but I don't go towards despair. I go to do actions of bestowal.
But I know that the despair will lead me to pray.
I don't know. You don't know either. Why? Because it says, it's written, wise guy, that's what you are. You need to attain this, you need to reach it in practice. The fact that it's written, the plan, it also says about the end of correction. So what, are you in that? How do you think that you're even in anything that's written here? You need to do these actions and then you'll reach it. Torah is a method, it's the inner work plan of a person against his nature in order to reach identification with the Creator, which is opposite of us.
So what can actually
to be included in the center of the group? You heard of that? Try it. New York, go ahead.
Раф, можно пару вопросов насчет конгресса предстоящих?
Майер.
A few questions about the Congress, Rav.
Вопрос, значит, такой.
Can a person ask the Creator for help to come to the upcoming congresses, to pay for it, or is it a matter of free choice, or should the 10 help?
You should constantly tie this individual state and the general state to the Creator. Of course you should, but there is still what will be the result. Alongside with asking of the Creator, I need to understand that everything that's in your ability to do, you should do. Meaning, I need to get it out of my heart and everything that I possibly can, and all, and that's the only way it will succeed. If I, just like we spoke about this today, if I don't chew onto it, then it doesn't work out. We need to exert ourselves. And then, after all the exertion, comes help from the Creator. So don't think that you can pray and by that I attain everything. Only after exertion comes the correct prayer. The exertion doesn't annul at all the corporeal action. Go on. New York.
Before we give the daily task, we'd like to say that for those friends that want to come to the American congresses, now is the best time to buy tickets. Not to mention that you have to register, and if you need a visa, then you have to get a letter from us, and you have to start this process today. Okay, so just to say that this was a tremendous lesson. Every one of Rav's words is really so inspiring, so powerful and strong. And I'd like to remind that today the virtual 10 from Israel, Italy 3, Novosibirsk, Petah Tikva 24, and New York number 1, we were the 10s on duty, and the task for today is, it says that we can only unite through external action. So every 10 scrutinizes during the day, how do we come from external unification to internal unification, or from external connection to internal connection. This is what we scrutinize in the 10 during the day.
שיעור זוהר. אינכם מוזמנים לצפות... Okay. יש לנו היום שיעור זוהר.
So today we have a Zohar lesson. You're invited to watch 6:30 till 8.
שיעור זוהר בשידור חי עם הרב לייטמן. הרב לייטמן מגיע לאמריקה.
Dr. Lightman is traveling to America. All of us, all as one. Kabbalah congresses in South and North America. We're inviting all of our students from the America to the congresses that will take place between the 26th of April till the 7th of May in Chile, Brazil, Mexico, and the United States. For further details, one.kabbalah.info. Have a great day and a great night.
בזמן שמתחילים לגלות את אהבת חברו תכף מתעוררת בו הרגשת שמחה ותענוג ברגע שמגלה שחברו דואג עבורו הוא כבר אינו יכול לדאוג עבור עצמו, עבור עצמו רק שיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב ישחקים הלבבות אפילו שיהיו של איתנים ומקירות ליבו מוציא חמימות ואהבה ברגע שמגלה שחברו דואג עבורו הוא כבר אינו יכול לדאוג עבור עצמו, עבור עצמו רק שיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש